That name, the name that is above every name, the name that you have exalted to be the celebrity of the universe. And we come to you in that name, that we might be transformed by that name, that we might be educated in that name, that we might be conformed to that name. And it is in his name we come. And we seek your face and your favor. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. I am an executive platinum flyer with American Airlines. My history of flying on that particular carrier has awarded me a status that comes with those who have established that level of relationship. I got a book in the mail some time ago from American Airlines written to executive platinum flyers. It was a book telling me of all the rights and privileges and benefits that accrue to me because of my relationship with the carrier. I tossed the book aside, thinking it was really not that important that I become that aware of all that they had to say to me about my relationship with them. And I just kept on going. I ran across it haphazardly the other day and thought I would skim it. Upon skimming it, it dawned on me that there were rights and privileges I had no idea I had. It didn't affect my relationship, but it did let me know I was not fully enjoying all my benefits. It let me know that in addition to having a formal relationship, there were certain rights and privileges that accrue to me that I would not be fully aware of, nor would I be able to take full advantage of unless I was aware that they exist. So that, in fact, the reality is I had a relationship that was not fully benefiting me because I tossed the book aside thinking that because I had status, I could fully participate and enjoy all the rights and privileges. If you are here today and you are a Christian, you have a relationship. But that doesn't mean you're enjoying all the rights and privileges and benefits of that relationship. Many Christians, like I did, toss the book aside, not feeling that they really need to know all the rights and privileges that come with their executive platinum position in Christ. And I thought, by way of reminding us today of our status as children of God, as saints of the Most High, as part of the body of Christ, that I would once again seek to remind all of us of our position, our executive status, if you will, as sons and daughters of the Most High. Lest you be satisfied to merely have a formal relationship without enjoying all the rights, privileges, and benefits that accrue to you because that relationship exists. There's no greater summary that I could think of than in that well-known passage in my favorite book of the New Testament, and that is Ephesians chapter 2. Much is said about the death of Christ, where sins were paid for. Much is said about the resurrection of Christ when victory over death was achieved and the receipt for the payment was made, validated by virtue of the resurrection. But not a lot is said about another great event that took place, and that is Jesus' ascension. We know about his death, we know about his resurrection, but for the believer, once you have dealt with the death and the resurrection by faith alone in Christ alone for the forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life, that ought to lead you and me into another level of understanding, an executive platinum level. And that executive platinum level has to do with your understanding of the ascension of Christ. Now, the ascension of Christ was when he left earth and went to heaven after having spent 40 days on earth after he rose from the dead to get things in final order before he went to his Father. Paul, in writing to the church at Ephesus, wants them to become aware of their rights and privileges, benefits and status as children of the living God in light of the ascension of Jesus Christ. He spends the first three verses of chapter 2 describing what life was like before they came into a relationship with Jesus Christ. He wants them to know that they were dead in their trespasses and in their sins. That is, before you became a Christian, the Bible declares you to be spiritually dead. Obviously, we're not physically dead. When he says dead, he's talking about a spiritual state of affairs. That is, to be spiritually dead means to have our spiritual faculties unresponsive. Like a man in a funeral home is physically unresponsive to what is happening around him because of physical death, people who are outside of Jesus Christ are spiritually unresponsive. They do not have the capacity to communicate with God, to hear from God, or to in any real way have interface with God, no matter how much they talk about God, because they are dead. Now, I know there would be an argument from non-Christians about this, about their spiritual death. Some would say, well, I'm nice. Others would say, well, I keep the Ten Commandments. Others would say, well, I go to church, I'm religious. But like in any funeral home, you can have dead people at different states of decomposition. It doesn't have anything to do with how dead you are. In fact, I've seen funeral homes that can make people look better dead than they looked alive. How you look has nothing to do with whether you have life. When you come to Jesus Christ, however, an amazing event takes place where the dead are raised. That is, where spiritual life is granted to the repentant sinner who comes and places faith in Jesus Christ. When that happens, a transfer takes place. That transfer is given to us in a couple of verses in Ephesians chapter 2, and I just want you to catch the concept so that you might now pick up the book. Verse 5 says, even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, the very first thing he wants you to know is that a union has occurred. He uses the phrase together with, together with, together with. A union has occurred between the sinner who has now placed faith in Christ and Christ himself, creating a spiritual union that can never, ever, 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 never, never, ever be broken. In our play last week, they talked about the unbroken chain taken from Romans chapter 8, where the Bible says that those whom he justified, they were predestined and they were called and they are going to be glorified. Everybody God starts with, he's going to finish with. Therein is our security, that once salvation has been gained, salvation can never, ever be lost. Because we enter into a spiritual, mystical, if you will, union with Christ. Many of you, when you got up this morning, got your cup of coffee. And when you got your cup of coffee, some of you want or like cream in your coffee. Some people I know carry their own cream with them. They have cream in their coffee, and you put the cream in the coffee, creating a union. Where the cream is put in the coffee, black becomes brown as the cream is mixed into the coffee, and a union occurs, and there is absolutely no way to separate that coffee from that cream, because a union has occurred. And that union has forever changed the nature of the coffee. It is forever changed because of a union. When you came to Jesus Christ, a spiritual union occurred. So you are together with Christ, raised with Christ, seated with Christ. So in order for you to know where you are, you have to know where he is. Because you are with him. Something brand new was created at the moment of salvation that never existed before, and it has to do with what happened to him that you get to be full participant in. I want to deal with a phrase to introduce our discussion today, found at the end of verse 6. All of this union that has occurred with him, now watch this, in heavenly places. In heavenly places. In heavenly places gives us the location of the activities of the union. The union has occurred in heavenly places. Now, what does that mean? Let me tell you what it means. It means the benefits of enjoying the union can only be enjoyed in a realm called in heavenly places. Or let me put it another way. You cannot understand or benefit from your executive platinum status in earthly places. Because the union has occurred in heavenly places. Well, now, if you don't know where that is, if you don't know how to get there, if you don't know how to access it, then you can have rights and privileges that you never benefit from. Not because they don't exist, it's just that you don't know the location of where they exist. Let me show you something that's in heavenly places, and then I'll tell you what it is. In chapter 1 of the same book, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ." Let me summarize it this way. Everything that God is ever going to do for you has already been done. Don't miss this now. Everything God is ever going to do for you has already been deposited in a bank located in heavenly places. He says he has blessed us. It's already happened. That's why in the verse, it has a ED on it. He has blessed us. It's already on deposit with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Everything God is going to do for you, he's already done. What is heavenly places? Heavenly places refers to the spiritual realm. To talk about heavenly place, heaven, is to talk about the unseen realm, not the physical realm. Now, what the implication of this is simply this. If you live in the physical realm, you're living outside of the spiritual realm. But if you're living outside of the spiritual realm, you're living outside of where your deposits have been made. That is, where God is doing what he plans to do for you by virtue of your relationship and association with Christ. This spiritual realm has to do with God's point of view, God's perspective, God's orientation. Jesus Christ controls this realm. He sits in the executive chair of this spiritual realm. He died, he was raised, he ascended, and the Bible says he's seated on the right hand of the Father. And he is running things in heavenly places. In this realm called heavenly places, only one person's in charge. That's Jesus Christ. Now, this is where you can't miss this. We've been talking about this on Wednesday night. God has delegated, God the Father has delegated the operation of this realm to his son, Jesus Christ. So you can't get the benefits of this realm strictly by going to God. That is why it is your identification with Jesus Christ that becomes the key to accessing this realm. God has delegated the operation of this realm to Jesus Christ. So believing in God is not enough. Loving God is not enough. Serving God is not enough. Following God is not enough, because God has placed the name of Jesus above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord. You stay generic God, and you do not access the rights and the privileges of the spiritual realm, that is, of heavenly places, that has been designated to Jesus Christ. Now, as we shared last Wednesday night, you have to understand there's a downside to this designation. Now, there's a great side. We're going to talk about that in a second. There's a downside, because the moment you go from God general to Jesus specific, there will be a reaction. And it won't be good. The world does not mind discussions about God, because that's very vague and general. When you say God, we don't know who you're talking about. Okay? When you say Jesus Christ, you've narrowed God down. Jesus told the leaders of his day, he told them, you do not know God. Because he says, if you knew God, then you would recognize me, whom he has sent, the only begotten of the Father. So this executive platinum status, where in the spiritual realm, everything God is ever going to do for you has already been done, only can be accessed by virtue of your union with Christ, not simply your generic faith in God. So what many people don't understand, Jesus said last Wednesday night, we dealt with the scripture. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. In other words, it's how you relate to me that will determine what daddy gonna do for you. And if you're not related to me, if you're ashamed of me, if you don't acknowledge me, if you don't affirm me, then what happens is the Father is not going to listen to you. Because it's all about Jesus Christ. Because he is in charge of heavenly places. This realm. Now this realm operates in history, although it is outside of history. And it's a little bit difficult to grab, I grant you, because we're talking about a spiritual realm, not a physical realm where the five senses can just grab it and just relate to it. That's why the fuller, if you will, you are with the spirit, the clearer you can see the realm. And the clearer you see the realm, I was doing a devotion with the staff, and I was sharing from John chapter 5, and Jesus says, whatever I see my Father doing, that's what I do. Jesus never wasted time because he only focused on what he saw his Father doing. And if he didn't see his Father doing it, he wasn't going to waste his time doing it. So Jesus would spend an hour with his Father so he would only have to spend 5 minutes with people. We spend 5 minutes with God, so we got to spend hours with people on a trial and error till we hit it. Jesus wanted to get right to the spiritual reality so that he wouldn't waste time in physical trials or trying or trying to figure out what's next. So it is your relationship with Christ that will determine this. So important was this to Paul that Paul prays a prayer in chapter 1, verse 18. Let's look at that prayer real quickly because it bears on what we're talking about today. He says, verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. I pray that you Christians at Ephesus and at Oak Cliff come to realize what you have gotten yourself into. That your eyes of your heart, not your physical eyes, because the physical eyes can't see what I'm talking about, the eyes of your heart, so you will know what is the hope of his calling, riches of his glory, and inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at the right hand, where? In heavenly places, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. And he has put all things in subjection to his feet. God has put all things underneath the feet of Jesus and gave him, Jesus, as head over all things to the church. That's the Christian family, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Paul says, I pray that y'all pay attention to this. He says, I don't want you to miss this. I pray that this blinders will be removed and you'll stop limiting yourself to the world you see. That you'll stop limiting yourself to the five senses. And the great challenge we have today are Christians who are so earthbound, they don't ever see heaven and or the spiritual perspective. And you can always hear it because they switch channels on you. You're coming to them with a spiritual perspective, but they give you an earthly response. You come with a divine perspective, and they give you a human reaction. They switch channels. He says, the reason I am praying that you don't miss your executive platinum status is that it is within that status. Watch this, and that status alone, where you get to see, here it is, this is what he says in chapter 1, the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead. In other words, what comes with heavenly place status is heavenly derived power. Much of our earthly powerlessness is tied to our earthly perspective. And because we keep switching channels, back, heavenly 1 minute, earthly the next minute. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. We don't see any resurrections. That is, we don't see any supernatural intervention. Heavenly places might be best understood. I want to try to concretize this for you. By understanding an American embassy. An American embassy. Every major country in the world has an American embassy located in their land. No matter where it is, if it's a recognized nation, you'll find an American embassy there. Okay, let's call the American embassy American places. Like heavenly places, American places. They are located in Japan and England and Indonesia and Canada, American places. This is a citadel. This is a place where the laws of America rule. All embassies are sovereign territory. Embassies do not belong to the country in which they are located. Embassies belong to the country that they are from. So an American embassy in England does not belong to England. An American embassy in England belongs to the United States, although it's located in England. Now, what makes it belong to the United States? Very simple. Simply, the land that it's on belongs to the United States, and the laws that govern it are U.S. laws. So when a person gets in trouble and they cross the embassy line, they're now in America now, although they're in the nation of England, because the rules there are different in American places, even though it's located on foreign soil. There is the head of the embassy, who is the U.S. ambassador to the country. He sits in charge of the embassy, and he is linked to another chair, an executive chair in Washington, in the White House, in the Oval Office, who is the President of the United States, who represents the homeland, whereas he oversees the embassy in a foreign land. Heavenly places is God's embassy in history. That's why he ends chapter 1 by saying he has given it to the church, of which Jesus is the ambassador. He's the head. The head is supposed to link with the executive chair so that the laws of the homeland are being flushed out and filtered out in the context of the family of God. So one of the reasons why you and I are not experiencing executive platinum status is that we have adopted the life of the country we're in rather than the life of the country we're from. In other words, our commitment is not to the embassy, our commitment is to England. And as a result, all of this stuff that we hear is supposed to be happening, all of this power we're supposed to be experiencing, all of these blessings we're supposed to be receiving, we're having trouble locating it. And the reason we're having trouble locating it is they are only located in the embassy, in heavenly places. That is, in the spiritual realm. He makes another statement about Jesus. He says, when Jesus was raised from the dead, he was elevated above all rule, all dominion, all authority. In other words, here, I love this. Jesus has the last word. He's been elevated above every authority, be it physical or spiritual. Every ruler, everybody who thinks they're in charge, every dominion, everybody who thinks they're calling the shots, everybody, whether it's angels or men, demons or men, everybody who thinks they are the final word has somebody who can veto them. Because Jesus has been raised above all of that. But he's only been raised in heavenly places. only in this spiritual realm, which means if you're not operating, not visiting, operating from the spiritual realm, you do not see the power that raised Jesus from the dead. The presence or absence of power and victory and legitimate blessing in your life is tied to this spiritual realm. He says three things happened when you came to Christ. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. That is no spiritual capacity. You became alive in Christ. He says three things happened. Number one, you were made alive, verse 5. Number two, you were raised up, verse 6. Number three, you were seated, verse 6. Made alive, raised up, and then seated. Made alive means you were given the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ became an occupant in your life through the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Christ lives in you. Jesus is not physically inside of you. He is physically seated on the right hand of the Father who is in heaven. But even though he's not physically inside of you, he is really inside of you, and he is personally inside of you through the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is Jesus inside of you. That's how Jesus occupies the life of the saint. So you were made alive in Christ. Then he says you were raised with Christ. You experience a resurrection. Well, obviously you did because you were dead. There was a resurrection. What was that? What does that mean? There was the impartation of spiritual life so that a whole new nature gave birth inside of your soul. You got your body, this is the case. You got your soul, that's the personality. And now right inside the hub of your soul, you have an alive spirit where it has now raised you up. And then you have been, here it is, relocated. Because verse 6 says, you are now seated with him in heavenly places. So guess what? You're not here. Well, yeah, you are here, but you're not here. You're physically here, but you're spiritually seated elsewhere. He says, you are seated with him. Okay. Today, technology has given us the ability to be transported to other locations without leaving where we are. Many businesses now are installing video conferencing. In video conferencing, what that means is I can attend a board meeting in Chicago without leaving my chair in Dallas. In other words, I can sit in Dallas but be transported to Chicago by technology so that while I am physically, actually here in Dallas, I am also really at the board meeting in Chicago. I am not physically at the board meeting in Chicago, but I am really at the board meeting in Chicago. And I am as really there as I am really here. I am literally in two places at one time. I am physically here while being literally there. Now, if I'm in a board meeting in Chicago by video conferencing, but I'm physically located in Dallas, because I'm in the board meeting, everything about what I'm doing physically here should be tied into my interaction actually there. So I'm seated here, but because I'm in a board meeting, I'm not watching a football game, I'm not watching a baseball game, because while I'm physically here, I'm actually relating to something else there. You would create problems if I was in a board meeting, video conference in, seated here in Dallas, supposed to be there, but I'm doing something else. Because in actuality, I'm supposed to be paying attention there, although seated here. God says that Jesus Christ has seated us with him in a whole nother realm, and we are actually there. But we're still situated here. But he wants us to operate here from the video conferencing from there. He does not want us to skip there and just operate here because we're physically here. Because we've been seated with him there. Now, Jesus Christ was seated, the Bible says, on the right hand of God, the Father. In the Bible, the right hand is the hand of power. Whenever the Bible talks about God's right hand, it's talking about his hand of strength. The strength of God is seen on his right hand. Jesus is seated on the right hand of the Father, which is the power side of God. We are seated with him. That's the power side. That's the victory side. Now, here's the key. This is the piece I like. I don't know whether you're going to like it, but I don't care. This is the piece I like. Here's the piece I like. When Paul prayed in chapter 1, I pray, and he prayed, he says, I'm talking about Jesus, but I'm praying for you. I'm praying that the scales of your eyes will be removed. And that the power, here it is, that raised Jesus from the dead will be your experience. Guess what he's saying? On Jesus, here it is, on Jesus' right hand, by virtue of the death and resurrection and ascension and seating of Christ, it means God is not limited to natural resources or natural processes. Because to get a resurrection, you got to go outside of that. You got to do something outside of the norm. Because that ain't normal. See, if all you are normal, you're not operating from your new seat. You're operating from your earthly chair. If all you are is normal. What God did was something outside of the norm. Resurrection. New life. Right hand power. He says you are seated with him in heavenly places. And that is the only location from which the supernatural is dispensed to God's people. Whether it's supernatural power or supernatural blessing. He prays another prayer in chapter 3. We don't have time to turn there, but that's where we get the verse. Well, yeah, let's turn there. It's just one page. Flip it over. Some of your Bibles, you don't have to flip it. Here it is, verse 20. We all love this verse, right? Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that you can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Do you understand what he's saying? Now to him who can do more than you requested, and who can do more than you can even come up with, think. Now, it's one thing to quote the verse. Okay, this is not a Bible quoting contest. But notice the end of verse 20. According to the power working on the inside. So you can only get on the outside what the power on the inside will allow for. And the power on the inside has to do with whether you know where you are seated. Now, let me tell you another thing about seated. That's nice. This is nice about seated. You know why Jesus sat down? He said, because he was finished. He overseeing now because he's finished. He has already done his work. He's finished. The Bible says in verse 6, we are seated with him. You know what that means? I mean, just relax. Relax. Be anxious for nothing. Chill. Cool it. Hey, just it's going to be all right. He got it. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Relax. Take a load off. Have a seat. Because he's finished. You have to say, Jesus is not trying to do anything. He's not sweating, talking about, phew, I'm tired. He's sitting down. Everything he's doing in history, he's doing it from his chair. He ain't getting up walking around the office. He ain't wiping his forehead. No, he's sitting down. And guess what? You seated with him. Sit down. The book of Hebrews calls it rest. Calls it rest. When the children of Israel were crossing over, he told them, now y'all go spy out the land. And why don't you go see whether it's a land flowing with milk and honey that is highly productive? They brought back these huge grapes, pomegranates. They say, yeah, it's a land rich. Guess what God told me? He says, in that land, there are wells you did not dig. He said, there's farmland you did not cultivate. I let the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and all them other ites. I let the sinners work it till you were ready to get it. I already laid that baby out there. It was your lack of faith that is living in heavenly places. It was your lack of operating in that realm that kept you from enjoying this realm. You cannot experience the power of the resurrection if you keep switching channels. You can't be Holy Spirit on Sunday and secular on Monday and wonder why nothing's flowing. So that, verse 7, in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. I was out of town the day before yesterday when the bad weather hit. And I called back and I heard channels went off the air. And I heard satellite receptions were interrupted because there was disturbance in the atmosphere. Disturbance in the atmosphere created interruptions in the signal. So that the signal was not able to be received, so there was not a clear picture of what was taking place. In other words, something out there was getting in the way. So there was no clarity. There was regular interruption of programming. The great tragedy today of many of us who right now, because we're Christians, are seated in heavenly places, is that you're going to go out after church today to a world full of static. And its goal is to interrupt the programming so that you don't get a clear picture of what Jesus' intentions are for your life and for your world. When the program is interrupted, verse 7 becomes a problem. Why did God seat us with Christ? So that we could experience, here it is, the free flow of grace. See, he did all this to show his grace, to demonstrate his grace. Now, what is grace? Grace is now all that God is free to do for you because of your relationship with Christ. It's all that God is free to do for you. The beautiful thing about heaven, when you and I go to heaven, is that there will be no interruptions. The greatness of heaven is this. No interruption. No commercials. There will be no commercial breaks in heaven. In other words, in heaven, there will be no non-joy moments. No non-peace moments. No non-happiness moments. No non-health moments. It will be uninterrupted flow of God's goodness. Let me tell you how uninterrupting heaven will be. Heaven will be so much not to be interrupted, God is not even going to allow night there. You won't even be able to interrupt heaven by sleeping. Now, I know we like to sleep, but we like to sleep because we need to sleep. But in a glorified body that can never get tired, you won't need to sleep, so you won't like to sleep. Not only that, but in heaven, you won't want to sleep. And the reason why you won't want to sleep is you don't want to miss out on nothing. It will be the uninterrupted glory and grace of God. But God doesn't want you to wait for heaven to experience heaven, so he's now seated you in heavenly places where you can now get the free flow of all that God has determined to do with, in, and through you as his son and as his daughter. It is to not interrupt the flow of grace. But we have to change our thinking here. You can't switch channels and wonder why you're not getting a clear picture. The Bible calls it double-mindedness. You say, well, this world keeps trying to force you to switch channels. It's always telling you to switch channels. And you're right, you're right. When a scuba diver goes into the water, he's entering a foreign land, a land that's not natural for him. But he's there because that's his job as a scuba diver. So he's in foreign territory because he's a scuba diver. He wasn't made to be with the fish. He wasn't made to swim with the dolphins. Not underneath the water. He wasn't made to hang out with the different species of fish that occupy the ocean. He wasn't made for that. And because he wasn't made for that, he can't survive in that. Because he wasn't made for it. He was made for oxygen. He was made for air. He was made for land. The scuba diver wasn't made to live in water. But since that's his job and he's got to go there, If he does that for a living, or he's an oceanologist or whatever the career might be that says you got to become a scuba diver, what he's going to do is put something on his back. On his back, he's going to carry a tank. Now watch this. The tank is full of oxygen. See, the reason why the tank is full of oxygen is that's his life source. That's his source from his homeland. But he's in a foreign land where he's not been made to live. But he's got to live there. So what he does is he borrows from his homeland what he needs for his life, even though he's spending time in a foreign land. He borrows from land places that which he needs to survive in water places. He doesn't stop getting in water. But he doesn't look to water to meet his life need, because he needs that from the real world in order to survive in the foreign world. And so what he does is when he sees the tank running dry, and sometimes they carry two tanks so they can just switch over. But when the tank's running dry, they go, I'll be back. And he goes up and he gets some more of his real world. Then he puts it on his back to go into the foreign world so that he never, ever, ever has to look to the water world to sustain him. Because the moment he switched channels and starts trying to breathe water to sustain him, he is on his way to dying. Because that stuff has not been made to give him the life he needs, given the nature that he possesses. God says, when you come to church on Sunday, you ought to be bringing a tank, and you ought to strap it up so that when you walk out of church, you ain't dependent on that world for your breathing, because you already got something from this world. And look, you can't wait till next Sunday to fill your tank up, because you might be drowning by then. So you got to make sure you get a little word every day. You got to make sure you get some spiritual input every day. You got to make sure you're feeding off of the truth of God every day, so that you don't start choking in a world that is not concerned. Look, the fish are not concerned whether the scuba diver breathes or not. That's not their concern. And the devil is not concerned whether you make it or not. You got to be concerned because you come from another realm. And when you live in this realm, you got to get oxygen from that realm so that you can survive in this realm and come out fully alive. That's what God is saying. So let's stand to our feet. And right now, what God is saying is, what I want to give you, grace, comes because of where you're seated and who you're seated with. There is an unbroken connection. And God wants you to be executive platinum saints, fully partaking of all the rights and privileges that comes with being sons and daughters of God. Now, if you are here today and you have a question about whether you are a son or daughter of God, whether you have this union, this cream in the coffee, then we need to get that straight. You need to say to Jesus right now, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. And I can't save myself, so I come to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of my sins and for you to give me eternal life, this new life, and resituate me with you in heavenly places. I bring you my sin so that you will bring me your salvation. If you're here and you're coming to Christ and you are needing to make sure that that indeed has taken place, slip out of your seat and come down. Let me pray with you as we come to our close. Anybody need to come to Christ today? You come. We We don't want the day to end with anybody here not